the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to take them out. If you are able to use your Bible on your phone without being distracted, you may do that as well. But I encourage you to follow along as we hear from God's Word. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." There's a popular phrase, I don't know if you've heard it, but it's people say you never forget how to ride a bike, right? So once you learn how to ride a bike, that's something that you remember with you the rest of your life. Can I see with a show of hands how many of you know how to ride a bike? Okay, most of you. Great. I have a nephew. I'm not sure if you knew that. He's 11 this year. But when he was 7 years old, he asked me to teach him to ride a bike. This is a picture of him. I think this is when he was 8 or 9, somewhere around there. So he asked me to teach him to ride a bike. And so I said, okay, come with me into the living room. So I brought him into the living room. I sat him down on the couch. And I said, Tyler, that's his name, this is how you ride a bike. You sit on the seat. You put your hands on the handlebars. You put your feet on the pedals. And you just start moving your legs in a circular motion. Okay? So I had him repeat that to me. You know, step one, sit on the seat. Step two, hold the handlebars. Step three, put your feet on the pedals. And step four, move your feet in a circular motion. So I want you to all do that with me right now, okay? Ready? So step one, you gotta sit on the seat. You're all sitting, great. Hold the handlebars. All right, now put your feet on the pedals. Now move your feet in a circular motion. Great, so if you did not know how to ride a bike before, you do now. Right? Do you really learn how to ride a bike like that by sitting in a seat or sitting on a couch, listening to these instructions? Do you really know how to ride a bike? No, and this is like a ridiculous story. That's not a true story. It's not actually what I did with my nephew. But I just want to illustrate this point. And that's the point that Jesus is making. He's saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you? You see, he knows that people, we, can treat our faith like that. We can come to church every Sunday. We go through service. We go through Sunday school, and we listen to all these people tell us these things about the Bible. But we just hear them, and we don't actually do them. In the adult small group, we've been going through the book of James. And one of the themes in the book of James is faith apart from deeds is dead. And what James is saying there is that if you have faith, there should be proof of that. There should be evidence of that. So for example, if somebody were to ask you, how do you, can you ride a bike? And you were like, yeah. And they said, prove it. And you said, okay, I can prove I ride a bike. You know, I sit on the seat, hold the handlebars, move my seat in a circle. I can ride a bike. Would you really be proving that you know how to ride a bike if you just said that? No, but how come when we come to church and we get asked, do you have faith? We're like, yeah, we have faith. I know Jesus saved me from my sins. I know that God created everything. I know that God loves me. And we just say these things, but there's nothing in our life. There's no action that prove that we have faith. So Jesus is asking his disciples, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I tell you? Now he's making an important point here as well. because I know some of you out there play hockey or play other sports. Can you imagine if someone showed up one day to a game or to practice, put on his uniform, said hi to the coach, hey coach, you know, put on his skates, got his stick ready, got out onto the ice, and then he just did whatever he wanted. The coach is telling him, you know, skate around the rink, and he's just skating back and forth. The coach is telling him, all right, we're going to line up here on the right side, and we're going to shoot from the right, and he's all lining up here on the left side, shooting from the left. Or I know others of you are part of a band. You play an instrument with other people. What if one person walked into the band room with, you know, their trumpet, and the conductor's like, okay, we're going to play the Canadian national anthem right now. And he was like, no, I don't think I want to play that. And he played the theme from Star Wars instead, right, on his trumpet. Like, what does that show about that person? It shows that they don't acknowledge the authority of the coach or the conductor. That person's position doesn't matter to them. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you guys are really going to be my disciples, if you are really going to call me Lord, do what I tell you. So as disciples of Jesus, we have to do what he says. So what are the things that Jesus wants us to do? What are the things that God wants us to do? Can you guys shout out some examples of what do you think the Bible tells you that you need to do? Anything. There's the Ten Commandments, right? That says, you know, have no other gods before me, or do not what? Steal. Do not kill. Do not kill. Do not murder. Very good. All right, so some of you know what God is telling you to do. But then there are other commandments, other things that Jesus has said in the Bible that might make us think, whoa, what are you talking about? And here's one of them. Here's something that I've read in the Bible when I was younger, and I was like, what? In the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking to a bunch of people, and he says, if any of you causes a little child to sin, that comes later. He says, if your hand causes you to sin, you know what you're supposed to do with your hand? Yeah, I see some of you motioning. Cut it off, right? Or if your eye causes you to sin, if you're looking at things you're not supposed to be looking at, what are you supposed to do? Pluck it out. Right, and Jesus has said this in the Bible. And people that read this are like, what? Like, is Jesus being serious? He's not being serious about cutting off your hand or taking, or literally pulling your eye out, but he is taking sin very seriously. So Jesus, he tells us to do many things in the Bible, and they're all for our good. Even right before our passage, he talked to his disciples about loving their enemies or not judging others, because if you judge others, you're going to be judged by that same standard. So it's not enough just to know what Jesus wants us to do, but we have to do them. We actually have to put them into practice. Because if we do what Jesus says, it proves that we have faith. But not only that, it also leads to faith that endures. So we're going to talk about why it's important to have faith that endures. So Jesus gives two examples. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, he's like a man who built his house on a foundation. But the one who hears and doesn't do them, he's a man who built his house without a foundation. So you see that there's a commonality. They both hear. Both men hear what Jesus tells them to do. But only one of them actually does it. And Jesus compares him with a man who's building a house on a foundation. I don't know if you've ever tried to build a tower of any kind, right? Either with Legos or maybe blocks. The bottom, the foundation, is really important. If you have a poorly put together foundation, the higher you go, eventually the building is going to fall. When I was in high school, I went on 2 mission trips to Mexico. And what we were doing those during the week that I was there was we were building houses for families that were in need. But it was just a bunch of high school students. It was a bunch of teenagers that were building these houses. So the one thing that they never let us do was put down the foundation, because they recognized that the foundation of the house is the most important. If it were to rain and we messed up putting down the rocks and the cement and stuff, the entire house could just shift and it collapse. So that was the one thing that professionals did. They put together the foundation and they trusted us teenagers enough to build the rest of the house. But laying a foundation is not easy. It takes a lot of work. It took those workers a couple weeks to dig the hole and put down all the cement. So it takes a lot of work to lay down a foundation. You have to dig, you have to make sure everything is right. And it's a lot of work for not a lot of result, right? You don't want to just put down a foundation and be like, okay, I'm happy living in a basement without a roof, without other rooms, right? Nobody wants to just live in a foundation. So the second man, he's like, laying a foundation, it's going to take a lot of work. I don't want to do that. I just want to have my nice house. So the second man, he goes and he builds his nice house, right? He doesn't put in the work to put down the foundation, and he just builds the house. And he just cares about the final results. I don't know about you, but have you ever watched like professional athletes or like movies with like spies? I really like spy movies and action movies. Have you ever watched them and just imagined yourself as that person, as that professional athlete, you know, like DeMar DeRozan or Steph Curry, you know, just shooting threes from like 40 feet away? I have. I've imagined what it would be like if I could just like make every single basket. And so I picture myself doing this, and then, you know, in real life, I go to a basketball court and I actually try shooting and I miss like 9 out of 10 shots. All right, the results aren't there. You can't just one day suddenly become a professional basketball player if you think about it hard enough. Right? These athletes, they put in work each and every day to lay the foundation for their skills. In the same way, our faith as believers, we can also be very results focused. You know, a lot of people, when they come to church, when they hear about the gospel for the first time, when they hear about Jesus, what are they really focused on? What's one of the things that's like most attractive about the Christian faith? It's heaven, right? It's eternal life, heaven. A place that's free from suffering, free from pain. The Bible even says we get crowns when we go to heaven. There's going to be infinite amounts of food for those of us who like to eat. Right? So people, they want the results. They want heaven. They like that. They can become a Christian to get heaven, to get eternal life. But what they don't want is the process of getting there. They don't recognize that to get to heaven requires sacrifice. There's costs. Jesus, in the Bible, he tells us that we have to die to ourselves. We have to put our own desires aside for his desires or for other people's desires. He tells us that we have to take on a cross, that we have to bear a lot of weight. Tells us that we have to fight against our sinful nature. And that's not easy. So we find ourselves not doing all of these things that Jesus has asked of us. We find ourselves not loving God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. You know, maybe we do love God on Sunday, right? God gets that 14%. If you divide 100% by 7, he gets that 14%. He gets Sunday. Sunday is God's day, but Monday through Saturday, I'm going to choose what I want to do with that time. And Jesus warns us about that kind of faith. A faith that doesn't have a foundation. What's going to happen when storms come? Well, when storms come, the house is going to crash. It's going to break. Our faith is just going to vanish. Poof. Right? Jesus is not unaware that life is going to be hard. He's saying when the flood comes, he knows that in our life, we are going to experience floods. There's going to be a time in your life where you feel like you are completely overwhelmed, where you feel like you're drowning. You know, that could be pressure from school. It could be pressure from work. It could be because a relationship between a family member or a friend is suddenly broken. You could feel lonely. You could feel a lack of purpose. These are some of the floods that are going to come into your life. And if you don't have a foundation, when they come, your faith will disappear. But the man who does the words of Jesus, the man who hears the words and does them, his faith will stand. And do you know why the man does the words of Jesus? Why he doesn't just hear them and say, oh, you know, that sounds good, but why he actually does them? And it's because he sees the words of Jesus, he sees the words of God as truly all important. They're worthwhile to follow. They're life-changing. And if you don't see the words of God like that, you're not going to want to do them. Right? If the words of God don't really mean that much to you, then why listen? God can easily be replaced by other things, right? If he's not the one who's giving your life meaning, if he's not the one who's giving you satisfaction, peace, joy, you'll look elsewhere for it. So that's why Jesus started off by asking his disciples, why do you call me Lord? That's where we need to start as believers. We need to start with seeing Jesus as our Lord. Not just a fact that we know, not something that we can just recite and say, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. But to really give him that position in our life as Lord, to give him that authority to direct and guide our life. You know, the same way that we would look to a sports coach or to a band conductor or even to our parents. When they say something, we actually do it because we've given them that authority. And now we need to give that same authority to Jesus if we want to have an enduring faith. And then secondly, it's about listening and doing what he says. Listening comes through different ways. One of the main ways is through the Bible. Opening up the Bible, reading it, and letting God speak to you. I'm not sure how many of you have actually experienced God speaking to you when you've read the Bible. But I know that God speaks. And there are two things that have helped me. One is praying before I open up the Bible and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to me as I'm reading. And then the second thing is consistency. It's not enough to just read the Bible one day on Sunday when you come to church. You know, there are so many other voices that are out there. And if we're listening to all these other voices 90% of the time, and we're like, okay, we'll listen to God 10%, Like, what do you think you're going to hear? You're obviously going to hear the 90%. And God is a jealous God. He says, I'm not going to compete with you. If you want to listen to these 90%, if you want to do the things that the 90% tells you, I'm not going to compete with that. You know, you have your choice. But he wants to speak to you. He wants you to listen to him. So if you are consistent in reading his word, he's going to speak to you. If you need help in getting started, there are Bible plans that I've already suggested, and I can share them with you. But I think the most difficult part is actually once you hear him doing what he says. You know, it requires us to go against our natural tendencies. I was in university, I was in my third year, and I was part of a Christian fellowship, and one of the staff members shared that there were these mission opportunities over the summer. I don't know if it's the same here, but when you're in university, the summer after your third year is a pretty important one, because that's when most people go out, look for internships, they look for job opportunities, so that when they graduate, they can get into the workplace easier. So all of my friends were doing that. All of my friends were looking for internships. I wanted to look for internships, but I felt God was telling me to go on this missions trip. So I tried to make a deal with God, and I didn't want to do it alone, so I was like, God, if you can give me one friend to go with me, I'll certainly do it. Well, God was like, no deal. So he didn't give me that friend, and he's like, I still want you to go. So I was like, okay, I'll listen. And so I applied, I went on the missions trip. And it wasn't until years later that I really saw that missions trip as the starting point to get me to where I am today, standing here before you as your pastor. And in all of that time, it hasn't been easy. Just this past week, I really struggled with this idea of being a pastor. Like, I had all these questions of, I'm not sure what's going on, I'm not sure what's happening, I'm not sure I'm gifted enough, I don't have the right, you know, gifts and talents to be a pastor. And I just started having all of these doubts in my mind, and I felt overwhelmed. I was like pretty close to feeling depressed. That was my flood. That was my flood this week. But then I thought back to all those moments when God spoke to me, told me to go on that mission trip, to go on another mission trip, to go to seminary. And I started thinking back on all those times of how I listened to God and I did those things. And he was with me every single step of the way. And that gave me so much hope and helped my faith remain, because I knew that God was with me through all of those moments. That even as I was struggling this past week, I knew that he was going to be with me. That yes, a flood is coming and things are hard, but he's going to be with me and he's going to help me stand through that. So that's why it's important that we do the things that Jesus says. Because otherwise, if we haven't experienced God's faithfulness in that way, our faith will not stand. Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us. God, honestly, I know personally, I would be so lost if you had not spoken to me. And I'm sure many of those of us seated here have similar experiences. That God, if you had not shown your love, not shown yourself to us, we would not be here. We don't know where we would be. We might even be dead. Might be in prison. We might be making millions of dollars and living a life that doesn't really have
meaning or purpose. But God, we thank you that you do speak. And Father, I pray that you would help us to hear what you tell us to do. And then help us even more to do them. So that we can build the foundation of our faith. We can keep building on top of it. So that we can have a faith that will endure and will last. That will help us to survive the floods and the storms of this life. Because God, we know they will come. You don't promise that things will be perfect once we come to know you. But what you do promise is that you are with us every step of the way. And that you will help us through. So Lord, we thank you. And we cling to your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.